Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Sunday Night Facebook. Hallelujah. Kind of excited about tonight. This is a subject that has meant a lot to me, where God's done a lot for me. And I know in talking about it, I may be talking to some people that maybe this isn't an issue for you, but I also know that in the body of Christ, I'm going to guess that most of us either have dealt with this issue or will deal with it. And God gave me some keys to getting free in this area, getting whole in this area. And I want to call this reclaiming your true identity. Most people, both saved and unsaved, I believe, have had an issue with what I'll call almost like identity theft or a twisted or marred identity. And it has to do with the way we grew up. And so let me just pray. Father, I pray for every person that is now hearing or will ever hear this broadcast. And I pray that if this is an issue for them, that this will minister to their heart, that they will be able to see who you made them to truly be, and that you will restore them to their true, true identity in the name of Jesus. So I'm calling this Reclaiming Your True Identity. So I want to talk about something I've noticed. Now, this has been an issue for me. God has really healed me in this area and maybe is continuing to. I don't know. But I think this is also an issue for other people. And one of the patterns I've seen in the body of Christ is this pattern, and this was true of me too. And the pattern is, if a person is called to do something or gifted in a certain area, somehow the enemy knows this usually much sooner than we do. And he begins to launch an attack on that identity, that calling or that gifting, many times from birth. And the biggest example I can think of is Edgar. Edgar was phenomenally called as an evangelist. He operated in many gifts. Now, he did not meet Jesus until he was in his 50s, but from his earliest days, even from a baby on, he said there were 11 times that he almost lost his life, and he didn't understand that it was about his calling, and the enemy was trying to take him out. So that tells me the enemy knew who he was long before he did, and I think that's the case with us. Certainly, it was the case with me. So I want to talk about this. You know, this is really common even in the scriptures, that a person that God approaches them to do something for him and they immediately start to say all the reasons they are not capable or they're not the right one. It's actually funny because Moses, you know, one of the greatest people in the covenant, Moses actually responded to God by telling him all of the reasons that he was not the guy. I'm not the guy. And so I want to read this to you. God talked to Moses and he told him what he was called to do. He was called to go to Pharaoh and get the people free. But Moses said to God, this is Exodus 3:11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Another translation says, "But Moses said to God, I am nobody. How can I go to the king and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Moses really saw himself as a nobody, though he had been raised in Pharaoh's house. Then the Lord goes on to explain it all to Moses. He even gives him signs and wonders, you know, with the staff. He shows him, I believe, three signs that prove how he will be, how the people will listen to him because he'll have these signs. And Moses responds again, "No, Lord, don't send me. I have never been a good speaker, and I haven't become one since you began to speak to me. I am a poor speaker, slow and hesitant." That's how he saw himself. Now, maybe he did have a stammer or something. We don't really know. But he certainly believed that because of his defects, he was incapable. So what he's saying, think about this. He's saying, in a way, "I know more than you do, God. I know you're saying I'm the one, but I'm telling you, I know more than you do. I'm not the one. I'm not the guy." Have you ever said that to God? "I don't think I'm the one." And I think most people feel like that. Further down in Exodus 6, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go tell the king of Egypt that he must let the Israelites leave this land. But Moses replied, even the Israelites will not listen to me. So why should the king? I am such a poor speaker." So you can see that this isn't just that he believes he has a problem or there's doubt. He has taken this as his identity. And the reason we know that, it says, I am nobody. I am a poor speaker. I am slow of tongue. I am hesitant. He's not just saying, I have a problem. He's saying, I am a problem. And if you've had your identity assaulted in your life, especially from young, and this can come from all kinds of sources. It can come from kids at school, mean kids, bullies, teachers. Sometimes our parents just don't think, and they say some things that really bring into question who we are, and maybe even well-meaning statements. I had some very well-meaning statements spoken to me that really caused me to go miles out of the way in my calling. So I want to talk a little bit about this. Even you remember Gideon. Remember that God went to Gideon, and immediately Gideon's, again, you know, very much like Moses, telling God, why I'm the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy, came to the wrong house. Of course, we know God picked Gideon on purpose. And Gideon responds by saying, you know, my family is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the weakest. He uses, if you look up that word, it means to be very thin or weak. I'm the weakest guy in my family. I'm not the guy, right? And so, again, this isn't just that he had doubt about God's ability to use him. It's that he believed he was unusable. And so I believe that this is what's called a false belief system, or a lie we have believed about ourselves. Because when God marks you, particularly when you are born again, God puts in you unpacked, I'll say it that way, capabilities and giftings that you may not even know are in there, but they're in there. It's like somebody putting a packed suitcase with bars of gold in it, and that's inside you, but until you unpack it, you don't see the value. You just see maybe a dusty old suitcase and all the other issues. So until you unpack what God has put in you, you don't even know what's in you. But I promise, God is a giver of great treasure. And when he caused you to be born again, believe this or not, the Bible says that that's your new self, and that that new self was created after the image of his holiness. You know, think about who you are on the inside. This is just remarkable. And if you can get a hold of this, you can shed the old false lying identity that's trying to hold you back and explain to you all the reasons you can't, or you shouldn't, or God wouldn't pick you, because none of that is true. It's a false belief system, okay? So I'm going to talk about a friend that I met. I went to church with a lady, and she was older than me, and you may have heard me talk about this lady because I learned a lot from her. She had been considered slow in her life. She couldn't drive. She couldn't hold a job. She still lived with her parents, and she was, at that time, probably 60, I'm going to guess. And she just really felt like she was slow. And in the natural realm, there may have been some truth to that. Her IQ may not have been the same as everyone else's, but compared to God, our human mind is pretty slow, all of us, you know, all of us. And yet God has done something in the spirit. Again, in your born-again spirit, you have the mind of Christ, which he knows all things about all things. So we don't have to stay in our old identity. So she said to me, you know, her parents were aging, right? And I'm sure they were worried about what was going to happen to her as she got older. You know, if they were to pass on, what's going to happen to her? And so she said, Holly, I'm so tired of being slow. And I said, you're not slow. She said, I'm not. I said, no. I said, listen to what the Bible says about you. And I began to take her through scriptures and show her that she had the mind of Christ. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. There's phenomenal things said about what you have access to. And I took her through the scriptures, and here's the thing. She believed me. She believed me, and she believed God's word. And so she began to go after things that she wouldn't have before. Things that she just gave up on, you know, or, you know, as they say, her hands hung down. Well, the Bible says, lift up your hands, strengthen the feeble knees. So she began to go after it. And within 6 months, she was driving a car, had a job, had a boyfriend. So she didn't accept any longer her old identity. After decades of accepting what was said about her, She began to believe what God said about her. And why, I promise you, what God says about you is not what the world says about you. People do not know who you are. No human knows the real you, the born again you, all the amazing, wonderful things God has put in there. There's no human that knows that. Only by the Spirit can we see that, right? And only if we're looking, right? So we always underestimate each other, don't we? We always underestimate people in the church. We underestimate ourselves. We judge each other based on fleshy things, but that is not the plan of God. God put marvelous works in every one of us. So you can look at somebody that maybe has bad behavior, maybe they're not delivered yet, maybe you think, oh, they're hopeless, but you know what? If they're born again, you know, believe for them. Pray for them, because we've seen impossible cases, cases that I thought, oh, wow, that one's, ooh, that, you know, I don't know if that person even wants to ever be changed. And we've seen them change. We've seen God do amazing, amazing works of deliverance, even in those that didn't seem like they wanted it. And so we can't give up on people, and we can't look at them and see the negative stuff that they're manifesting. We have to look at them and see God on the inside, right? Jesus Christ, and that born again, made in the image of God, Spirit on the inside of them. That's what we need to see. So I'll tell you a secret I found out. Albert Einstein, you know that when Albert Einstein was young, he couldn't speak very well either. And his parents actually despaired of him being able to talk. So they took him to a doctor, and he was finally able to talk, but then he started doing this thing where he would mutter when he wanted to say something. He'd say it to himself two or three times before he actually said it. And so his nickname from his family, this was his family's name for him, the dopey one, Albert Einstein. Now, what if Albert would have believed that he was just dopey and stupid, slow, can't do anything? We wouldn't know about E equals MC squared. I still don't know about it, but I can quote it. We wouldn't know a lot of things, right, about physics that he started. So I'm just saying, he didn't have to accept what his family said. Some of you have heard Lori's testimony. She was actually raised, and she was told she had a learning disability, was put in the slow class. Satan tried to attack her three times in her life. She had concussions, three concussions, which is like Satan was trying to injure the brain. Two of those times she had complete memory loss, and God healed her. And one day we were talking, and now I've seen Lori fix stuff that nobody can fix. I've seen her, if it's broken, Lori can fix it. She has an incredibly strong mind. She said something about struggling with learning, and I said, I believe that you've believed a lie. That's not true. It's not true. And she took it to God, which is what we should do. She took it to God and began to ask questions and discovered that they were mistaken, that she didn't have a learning disability at all, or it went away when she got born again, right? Because you're a new person when you're born again. You don't have to accept the old label that was put on you. Some of you need to tear off those labels. The people stuck on you, or the bullies stuck on you, or even friends, you know, stuck on you. I had a situation, you may have heard me talk about this. When I was little, I was already very, very shy, and someone in my family heard me singing, and they made fun of me, and I immediately said, I must have a bad voice, I'll never sing. Well, of course, later on, God started making me sing, and it was just really hard for me because I believed I could not do it. I've known people who have creative abilities with art, music, writing, and they were discouraged from early on. It's like Satan goes after your gift and your identity. He does not want you to know who you are. And so he starts very early, even preschool. He starts working on getting you to believe bad things about you. That's really one of his jobs. One of the things I was told just before college, the two things I liked the best were music and math. And some very well-meaning and brilliant people said, well, you don't want to major in music and math. And the way it was worded is, you don't want to major in music and math, they said, because all you can do is teach, and you don't want to teach. And the reason they were saying that was well-meaning. They figured if I taught, I would not have a good income. So I went to college, and I avoided music and math. my two favorite things. And later on, and I really believed what they said. They said, you don't want to be a teacher. That was the phrase. And I thought, oh, yeah, I don't want to be a teacher. In my late 30s, I was in a music group, and I was teaching some people a little course I had written. And I said to myself, look at that. They had told me I don't want to be a teacher, but I love this. I love teaching when people get it. I loved it. I love teaching that class. See, that was a stolen identity. It was a stolen gifting, something that I actually do like to do. Can I say to you, I think God wants you to open that closet and look inside and say, is it possible that this really is something I'm good at? Is it possible that this is something God gave to me to do that will bless him and that will bless his children, and that maybe I am really good at it and I was lied to? Because I'm going to guess that that could be the case. You might be seeing a little disconnect in your life by now. You may be thinking, well, I feel like I'm called to do, I'll just say A, B, C, because for every person this will be different, right? I feel called to do this, or I feel good at this or gifted at this, but I don't think I can do it because, you know, as Moses said, I'm this, I'm that, I don't have the ability, or I'm afraid. If this is the case, I think you've believed a lie. And a lie, this is so interesting, because at first a lie will come in the form of you doubt if you could do it. It feels like doubt. But if you entertain it long enough and you begin to believe that that is the case, in this is just my opinion from observation, many years of observation, it looks to me like what happens is if you believe that lie and entertain it long enough, it becomes your identity. It's more than just a lie you've believed. You begin to believe that's who you are. And that's much worse than just thinking, I'm not so good at this or I'm not so good at that. You begin to say, I am not usable or am not forgivable. One thing God taught me, there are people who, you know, for years could hear wonderful sermons on forgiveness and grace and mercy, and for whatever reason couldn't receive it. And one day, I will never forget this, I saw it so clear. I saw filthy rags. You know, our righteousness was filthy rags. And I saw a rag that was filthy with tar and blood and filth that could never be, you know, you could put it through the washing machine 100 times. This kind of tar would never come out. And I realized that the identity thing had happened. An identity crisis of, where the person was able to say, oh, I totally get that God's good, that he's loving, that Jesus died for our sins, and that he can forgive people. And that's true for everyone else, but I'm unforgivable because I am filthy rags. Am I talking to somebody? I think I am. And what God is saying is, that's a lie that you believed probably because of the way people spoke to you or treated you. And this is not all that uncommon, okay? And so God wants us to renounce the lie. So what we're going to go through some of this in a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about it. But when you have a lie in your soul, the way you get rid of it is you repent of believing it. Because what a lie is it's believing something that elevates itself above the Word of God. The Word of God can say you're forgiven, but I know better, I'm unforgivable. Or the Word of God can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but oh no, I can't. I'm the great exception to the rule. What did I just do? I elevated that lie above God's Word. That's why it says we're to tear down every thought. Every thought, everything that comes against the knowledge of God, we're to tear it down. Amen? So the way we do that is we repent of believing that lie. And we'll do that in a minute. Recently, I had a huge revelation from God. I was sitting in the car praying. I had a long drive, and I was praying about some things. And I had been working with someone, and I saw a series of events in this person's life. But God turned it into an encounter, kind of. This person had been somewhat discounted by her father, maybe didn't feel really affirmed by her dad. And I don't know if you know this or not, but if you're a female, you really need the love and protection and the affirmation of your dad. And there's a reason for this. If you're a man, you really need the love and respect and affirmation of your dad. Your dad, I think I know the reason why, but I can say I really believe that your father is the person that establishes your identity or your belief in who you are. Your mom can too. My mom really helped me big time. But I think the dad, to both men and women, is probably the most paramount person. You know, you think about God picked Joseph to raise Jesus. He must have been quite a man, right? And what we need is someone that can build us up and say, you can do this. I believe you can do this. But what we often have is, oh, you're not able. You're just the one that was, you're the slower runner. You're the one that's doesn't speak well. That's what we often hear from parents. It's heartbreaking. And so anyway, as I was praying into this, the series of events in this person's life was really wasn't very much loved and affirmed by the dad. Began to date, right? And instead of finding strong, loving relationships, ended up kind of being used, abused, betrayed, right? Ended up marrying a young man. This young man was not only unfaithful, but was repeatedly unfaithful. And she began to come into a place of the word the Lord spoke to me is devalued, devaluation. And at one point, she felt utterly devalued, meaning I have no value. And this pattern went on with teachers. And then she joined a church, and the man that ran the church was very much like her dad. Maybe a good enough guy, but just wasn't affirming, wasn't confident in her. And she knew she was called. And so what I saw as I prayed that day, I saw this series just in the seconds, just boom, 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 boom. And I realized that every person that might have been sort of a father figure to her, that might have embraced who she was and given her value, apart from being, you know, pretty or whatever people valued, if any of them had shown some sense of affirmation or given her a confirmation of who she was, she might have had a value. Now, this is actually an encounter I had with God. The next thing I see is Adam in the garden after the fall, and there's been a break. Adam has lost, he's lost everything, but the main thing he's lost is his relationship to his father. Now, if the father is the person that affirms your identity, not doesn't just affirm it, but he's the one who determines it. Your father is your identity. Who are we? We are made in the image of our father, and that got broken in the garden. And remember, what happened to Adam passed upon all men. It says death, through that one man, death passed upon all men. So every baby that's ever been born was born with a broken relationship to the Heavenly Father. And what I saw was because of that, humans, really, I saw hordes, I saw a picture, hordes of people clamoring, both saved and unsaved, clamoring for who am I? Who am I? What's my value? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And I saw one after another, both men and women, trying to prove they had some value by all kinds of crazy means. One would try to be the smartest one. One would try to be the fastest one. One would try to have the loudest car. One would try to have the most stuff, the biggest house. And it was all an effort in vain to find the real identity that only God can give us. And so what I saw was, even though some of us get saved, there's not been a full reconnection with an understanding of the full value that we have from our Father. That's something we really need to get a hold of. And when I saw this, I said, Lord, you know, this isn't exactly deliverance. This isn't a devil to be cast out. And I saw, the other thing I saw was a picture of her at very small and completely broken, just utterly broken. And I said, Lord, how is this fixed? And he said, disassociate from the wrong identity, the false identity, and associate with your true identity. He said, that's the solution. So we're going to come back to that, and we're going to do that. We're going to make a proclamation later. Just let me catch up here on my notes. So essentially, like that picture I saw of that person, in some ways we have been broken, and that link, Jesus is the reconnector. He reconciles us to God. He reconciles us to the Father. And what I've seen is, even though we've been born again, hopefully all of you are born again, sometimes there's a link here about identity that still needs to be reconnected. We need to disassociate from the lying identity, right? From the faults, from the person people said we were. Moses, really, honestly, he needed to disassociate himself from believing he was a poor speaker. Because how can you preach to a guy? He's got to come and preach to Pharaoh, who's a meanie, right? A mean, bad guy, a rotten guy, right? Who serves false gods. And you've got to approach him with some chutzpah, right? You've got to approach him with confidence. How can you do that if you're associating with yourself some identity of being a poor speaker? Somewhere in us, we have got to get a hold of God's identity. I remember when God dealt with me, he said, "You have the fear of man." And I said, "Well, I'm just shy." And he said, "No, you have the fear of man. And if you don't get rid of it, how can you minister?" And you know what? He was right. Because I was so afraid of what people would think, and they might not like what I said. I lived in fear. It was terrible. And I didn't think I lived in fear. If you'd asked me, I would have said, "I'm not a fearful person. In other ways, I've never been fearful. I'm not afraid of things that go bump in the night. I'm pretty gutsy." But when it came to that, I was afraid. I was afraid of people, and I was afraid to preach. I was worried about what people thought. I had a man-pleasing spirit and the fear of man. And those are killers. And God said, you know, I thought it was, see, we try to excuse it. I thought, well, that's okay. That's just, I was born shy. I've always been shy. That's just who I am. God said, no, it's not. That's not who you are. You need to get rid of that thing. And here's the thing. When you really get delivered, the thing you thought was part of your personality suddenly leaves, and you realize, hey, that isn't who I am. That's not who I am. I'm not fearful. I'm not shy. I don't have to carry that baggage around. You don't have to carry those rocks around in your backpack. Some of that stuff isn't you. I'm talking to someone, you have issues with anger, and you say, well, that's just the way I am. No, sweetie, it isn't. It's a stronghold. God loves you. He wants you set free. He wants you set free. And when you're really set free, the thing is just gone, and you can hardly remember what it was like to have it. That's freedom. That's true deliverance. Okay, that part was not on my notes. Hallelujah. So, anyway, a lie that becomes our identity, I want to talk a little bit about that. It means we accept as fact a label or identity that really is not what God says about us. So a person might say, I am a gangster, I am no good, I am weak, I am slow of speech, as Moses said, or I am a bad singer. But that may totally not be true. We have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son, but some of us are still living in darkness because of that tie to a broken identity. So we must disassociate from the old and associate with the new. We're going to do that through a prayer. So I want you to take a minute. I'm going to have you think about, while I've been talking, I'm going to guess that some people, maybe not all, you may be thinking, oh man, that's me, and it may be more than one area. Maybe you feel called to be an artist, but that was always the thing that was not acknowledged. Or maybe you feel led to write a book. Maybe you feel like you really want to write, but you were always told, no, no, that's not for you. You're not, you know, good enough with your grammar or whatever. I want you to think about the thing or things that you feel like you could do, or God maybe is calling you to do. And then what is the, if you have a kind of a naysaying type of spirit whispering in your ear, no, that's not you, you're not able. So for example, I'll call it ABC. I'm called to be a speaker, ABC. And the reason I'm doing that is I have to make a proclamation that's going to work for all of us. Okay, so you'll be able to fill in the blanks. But I'm, quote, slow of speech, XYZ. So what I mean is we're going to say a proclamation, and where I say ABC, you're going to say what you're called to do or what you feel your gift is. Okay? So, and where I say XYZ, you're going to put in the blank of what you, the false identity or the lie that you believed. So I'm going to explain to you why I'm doing this. Over the years, I've discovered something that I think is amazing. God has used this to get me free and to get many others free. I call it the proclamation. And what it is a turning from perhaps a lie we've believed or some behavior. And it really lines up with what the word says about repentance. Now, the reason this is a big deal is sometimes we have issues and we don't understand why we have them. We don't understand the mechanics behind it. We just have a problem. We say, God, won't you fix this? Won't you change me? And we act as though he can just push a button. But here's what God told me. There are some things that we chose to believe. We made a choice to follow a behavior pattern. We made an inner vow, or we proclaimed something over ourselves. We proclaimed a false label and accepted that as my label. And he said, if you made the choice, you must unmake it. I can't unmake it for you. And the reason he can't and won't is because he is a God of honor. And he gave us free will. He will never override your will. And if your will is to stay in a mess, he lets you stay in the mess. Now, once he shows you the false belief system or the lie you've believed or maybe an inner vow you made, here's what happens. We're going to do a proclamation that has two parts. The first part of it is we're going to renounce any lie we believed. So for example, I'm going to use the example, I'll use my own example of singing, right? I was told, you know, I was made fun of for singing. I went to an audition and I was so gripped with fear that it sounded horrible. And I was scarred. And so when God told me he wanted me to lead worship, I was, you know, watch the dust fly, man. I was running as fast as I could away from that. That made no sense. But at some point, God kept saying, I really want you to do this. You know, I want you to do this. So to obey him and to overcome, what if people don't like my voice? What if my voice cracks? What if blah, 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 blah. So I'm using this as an example. So in this proclamation, what I would do is say, Lord, all my life I have believed, this might be an example, that I am not a good singer and that I shouldn't sing in public. But today you are showing me that you want me to sing. Now, remember, we're going to apply this to whatever your ABC is. Today I see this, right? I see that you want me to be a singer. And I'm going to say the prayer and you're going to repeat it, okay? Today I see this. So, Father, I repent this day and I renounce the lie that I'm a terrible singer or that people won't like my voice. If you're calling me to do it, you'll make me able to do it. So from this day, I renounce that lie. I refuse to believe it. I will not accept it. And I choose to believe your word that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe you, God, that you're going to make me able to sing, that you're going to, in fact, sing through me, that you're going to give me voice when I need voice, in Jesus' name. Now, the reason I'm explaining this to you is that this is actually, see, I did this for years and saw it work. I saw people delivered. I saw people set free, and not just about identity, but all kinds of things. But I didn't know the mechanics of why. And then God began to say to me, this is like a legal document in the spirit. A person has accepted a lie. It's given them a stronghold, but now they have repented of it. And when they repent of it, what happens is they shut the door on the enemy's barrage of junk. They shut the door to the kingdom of darkness. And then when the second part of the proclamation, we say, from this day, I choose to believe your word, which says, then what happens is you open the door to the kingdom of God, his blessings and his abilities legally in the spirit. Now, legally, Satan has no hold on you because you've refused the lie, and the blessings of God can openly pour on you because now you've opened that door. So after doing it many years and not really knowing why it worked, but seeing, frankly, miracles, when God explained that to me, I could see so clear that we are really in charge of our destiny in so many ways. So now, after much ado, I'm going to do this proclamation. If you have an issue that you would like to get rid of, a lie that you think you've believed that you want to get rid of, I'm going to have you say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, all my life I believed, you know, X, Y, Z, that I wasn't able, or whatever your thing is. Father, today I see that that is not true. That's not my identity. That's not who you called me to be. Today I repent of that lie. I renounce that lie. I refuse that lie forever, and it will no longer be part of my soul. Go from me, lie. In the name of Jesus, Father, from this day I choose to believe your word and accept the identity that you've given me, which is that I am able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And if you've given me a gift to do ABC, I will surely do it. You will do it through me. Your grace will be upon me, and it's going to be wonderful, and I will find great joy in it, in Jesus' name. Now, many times I've prayed that with people and literally felt the burden roll away. You don't have to carry the things people said about you. No one but God knows you. He knew you in the womb. He formed you. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not make junk. He knows you. He loves you. You are of great value to the kingdom. And he wants you free from these things so you can do all the things that you were born to do and that you were called to do. Amen. So I love you, and God loves you, and I'll talk to you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.